I'm weeping with the rest of the country about the tragedy that took place in Newton, Connecticut, and the horror of children, innocent children, and to see our president and all of us who weep with the parents and the families of those, and because most of them were children, little ones, what draws our hearts in tragedy such as this is the innocence being cut down and destroyed, and the horror of every family now that has children. You know, the fathers and the mothers, when they send out their children to school, especially to kindergarten, you think, well, there might be an accident with the bus, or there might be traffic problems or whatever, but to have children killed by a madman. So I really believe that you know, I just see that this is a very painful thing. And the scriptures do have time for us. You know, what did Elijah do? It says he turned the hearts of fathers to their children. In this day and time, at this particular season, you know, when parents are taking their children and getting Christmas presents, but this is a time when you fathers and mothers, in a deeper way, are now being invited by this tragedy to have a deeper meaning to the spirit of Christmas. That Christmas is a time when the Son of God, it's His birthday, was born into the world 2012 years ago. And we're celebrating at this time of Advent. Yesterday was a day of penance, as well as fasting and prayer, in preparation for those of you who have been listening to this message that I've been sharing with you. Well, now, this tragedy, Elijah, is really true. And the spirit of Elijah, which was in John the Baptist, who is another Advent figure, to turn the hearts of parents to their children. What more horrible thing could happen in the darkness of our day than to have these children and little children, innocent children, killed? And our attention as a nation is drawn to them, all I could think of, you say, well, what a horrible time for this to happen. You know, in the spirit of Christmas, every Christmas that we have celebrated as Catholic Christians, and any of us who celebrate Christmas, know that the event of the birth of Jesus was surrounded by the death of the holy innocents. Herod, on the birth of Jesus, went out and killed this madman, this horrible, horrible king, killed innocent children under 2 years old. And how many of them were? Maybe it was just like Newton, Connecticut, that the attention of the whole country, and really the world, is brought to awareness, not so much only of the death of those families who are suffering and mourning the loss of their children. There were 5 adults that were also killed beside the shooter. And it almost seems as if, although I'm sure their lives and the suffering that comes into the families of those who have died, those teachers and those teacher aides that died in this tragedy, but the attention is instantly drawn by us and for us to the children because of the innocence, the lives that were snuffed out and never would be lived. And I believe that this connection with the holy innocents that the church has only draws my attention to the Father as he looks at our nation, and the Father weeps at the death of his innocent children that are aborted. We can weep at the death of five-year-old children. How the Father, because his intent was to have those children that were aborted also as members of our family. And here in our nation that we condone and we have in law the right to kill the unborn, and we don't even recognize them as our little brothers and sisters. And so highlighting in this Connecticut tragedy is the United States tragedy of condoning and putting forth abortion and the death of the innocents and the holy innocents. I was just with someone and he had five pregnancies by five different girlfriends, five different ones, and they were all aborted. And now here's a father who just recently became aware. My God, he said, as he awakened, that I had the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, and he has lived and sowed his wild oats. But they ended in the tragic death of his children. And he's doing penance now, and he now is weeping. When I used to tell Mother Teresa that, you know, what do I do? And those of you who, some of you may be listening, who had abortions, and you may be recalling the pain that you have for having killed your children. And although God has forgiven you, and he has, and so I have often just told mothers and those fathers who had abortions that God forgives you, but still the weeping goes on. And I said this to Mother Teresa one time. She said, let them cry. Let them cry. Who would go to Newton, Connecticut, to the homes of those children who were killed, and not tell the parents, don't cry. Let them cry. And those of you who have killed your babies, cry. That the hearts of fathers and you fathers who have allowed your children or even encouraged your girlfriends or whoever it was, maybe some of you, even your wives, to have an abortion. Cry at the baby that was unborn. Not too long ago, I was on a plane, and this mother, she had what the doctors called a damaged pregnancy. There was all kinds of problems with the pregnancy, and the doctor said, refuse to retreat her if she didn't have an abortion. She said, I'm a Christian. She wasn't a Catholic, but I can't, my conscience won't let me abort this child. And she went and continued to try and find a doctor who eventually would give her some help with her prenatal care. That's the pressure sometimes on mothers who are pregnant with babies. But she finally found a doctor and had the baby that was born perfectly healthy. He's now a beautiful 37-year-old man, married, and she has grandchildren by that family. And these children that were killed, the mourning and the loss, as our president led us in the mourning, their lives were never lived. The school graduations that they never went through, the marriages that they never got into, the children that they would have had. That's what's this so tragic. Innocent children. Take our hearts, fathers and mothers of those children. And the same is true. It was of the children that were killed by Herod at the birth of Jesus. And the scripture says, and Rachel did not stop weeping because their children were no more. They weren't. And the same is true of this land in its depravity and its distance from its children that recognizes abortion. Weep. Weep for the children and the parents of Newton and the tragedy. And weep for the tragedy of abortion. And Elijah and John the Baptist are saying, repent, repent, and come back to God. Especially in this issue of abortion and the tragedy that it is bringing to families and to people, and to work and to pray and to fast. And the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of John the Baptist is now being backed by Jesus, as he, and through my tears, I would like to read what Jesus has to say in today's gospel. As they were coming down the mountain, the disciples put this question to Jesus. Why do the scribes claim that Elijah must come first? In reply, he said, Elijah is indeed coming, and he will restore everything. I assure you, though, that Elijah has already come, but they did not recognize him, and they did as they pleased with him, and that was John the Baptist. They killed him. Just as Herod had killed the innocents, so they killed John. The Son of Man will also suffer at their hands in the same way, and they killed him. The disciples then realized that Jesus had been talking and speaking to them about John the Baptist. And so I think there's a message here for the suffering of the families of the children at Newton. Your loss is such a pain. It's like a magnifying glass. It's just so huge, it overwhelms us with grief. The pain of each father and mother and story of those children, and how it goes right throughout the whole world. Can I even let my children out of my sight? The horrors and the dangers of this world. There are so many madmen out there. And you know, recently I had the experience of being with a mother who was trying to get her daughter, who was totally psychotic, into a mental hospital. And she actually heard voices, and at one time in her life, burnt the house down that she was in because the voice told her to. I'm not sure what this man's voices were, but there are many people who should be in psychiatric units, protecting us from their madness. There's something wrong, but this mother was unable to get her daughter into a mental asylum because when she was examined, they said, we don't see that she's any danger to herself or to anyone else, because she would deny it. Of course, many of those who are hearing voices and running around, and what the voices are telling him, I don't know what this shooter was told, but there are many like that who are not in mental institutions because we're turning them away, I'm sure. So I'm not sure what his history was, but over and over again in this country, there's a tendency not to really recognize the madness of certain members of our community that really need very careful attention. In all this darkness, in all this sorrow, there's Christmas. Jesus is saying to all of us, through his suffering and through his dying, yes, through the death of John the Baptist, yes. Yes, that's all true. And life is many times very difficult, especially for those who want to bring justice and truth to the world and peace. But it's not what happens to us. It's the response we make to what happens to us. And so all of us, to recommit ourselves to be instruments of peace and instruments of love, even to those who cause suffering, pain in this world. The forces of love are greater than the forces of evil. The forces of darkness cannot overcome the forces of light. Jesus, who is in you and in me, wants to bring light to a dark world. In this world of ours, that's very much accentuated by the tragedy in Newton, Connecticut. The tragedy will always, always give way to the joy and the power of God's love, overcoming every suffering and every death. Those little children and those people who died, we believe, are going to be with God forever. Right now, it doesn't seem like much consolation to the families that hear and have that sudden death. But it is true. As the time goes and they begin to see, they will see their children again. They will be reunited with them again, because the message of Jesus is resurrection. Yes, there's suffering, and yes, there's death, but there's resurrection. And the more innocent ones are truly the signs of the presence of Jesus. Those little souls were so Jesus in our midst. That's why our hearts are so touched by them. Those little children, when I saw their faces, those little children are with God. And the doors of heaven are now open. None but the innocent will enter the kingdom of God. And their faces will gaze upon the Father forever in heaven. All of us who believe, believe in eternal life. So that the passing of this tragic time of Christmas, Advent 2012, will end in glory because of Jesus.
Any final thoughts for us in praying not only for those children and their families, for those adults
yes.
who are taken,
yes.
but also for that sad, tragic young man.
For the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think the song of Christmas that I really love is the message of the angels to the shepherds.
Joy.
joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. And they sang, peace to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And so, in the midst of the darkness, and the darker and the more painful, the great joy that is coming will be his birth, Jesus coming among us. Mother Teresa used to always say, never let the pain and the suffering of Calvary block your mind out to the joy and happiness of the resurrection. And this is a time, I think, to say that to each other and to those around us as we comfort one another with the truth that death will end in eternal life. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and may perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.